moment. Well, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do cry out to you and sing praises about your great faithfulness. We're thankful for your goodness and your care for us. This day you've granted, the means of grace that we're able to enjoy, the gathering of your people. Lord, the opportunity to hear your word read and preached and even to fellowship with dinner tonight. We look forward to all these things, even as we count upon your covenant faithfulness that is told to us and promised, and we experience it and know it. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to rest in it more and more, and that we would be reminded of the infinite love that you have for your people, even as we saw this morning, even as we heard the call and looked at Paul and saw your sovereign care in the midst of suffering and the blessing it is to serve you, clinging as you hold to us the anchor of Christ, your sheep that you do not let go. So be with us now as we spend more time in your word today. As we open Ruth, we ask that you might teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are in Ruth for our second time here on Sunday evening. So we're continuing in chapter 1. We looked at verses 1 through 5 last time we were together. We'll be looking at verses 6 through 22 as we are together this evening. Remind you, as I mentioned last week, and I'll kind of beat this into our minds for our next several Sunday evenings as we look at Ruth, that Ruth teaches God is always present, working all things together for the good of those who love him. Ruth displays God's sovereign love and providential care for his people. And it is throughout, we see, it's pointing to Christ, our Redeemer. I remind you that we are going to be moving through this love story of David's great-grandparents that we see, the ancestors of the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll rejoice in all that that brings. We're reminded, though, there's more than just a love story going on here. Boaz is a type, a foreshadowing, a pointing towards, as he is a kinsman redeemer, pointing towards our great redeemer that we will see. We sang, Great is Thy Faithfulness. I think that ties in well with what we're going to see in the passage this evening. Though we're coming out of last time together a lot of hard things that were going on, and in the midst of all that, we still see God's faithfulness to his people. So Ruth, we're in chapter 1, going to read verses 6 through 22. Then she arose with her daughter-in-laws to return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughter-in-laws, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said of her two daughter-in-laws, "Go, return, each of you, to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you've dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me for your sake that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." And they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or return from following you, for where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. So the two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, and the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has brought calamity upon me?" So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law with her, who returned from the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. Our family had kind of an exciting thing recently. We got a new puppy. As crazy as that sounds to some folks, but we're excited. And we have a puppy. We were wondering how this new puppy, he was going to do with our old dog. But it was a good mix. It worked out. So Murphy, the new puppy, and Lebo, our dog we've had forever, are getting along well with one another. But Lebo, our bird dog, Lebo has some interesting traits and characteristics to him. One of those is no matter how much we take care of Lebo, how much we love this dog, how much we feed him and walk him and play with him and do all these things, no matter how much we give him a warm house to sleep in at night in the winters and a cool place to relax in the summers, no matter what we do, if a front door is ever cracked more than like a millimeter, if he can get his little snout just through it, he is gone. I mean, just gone. Running as fast as he can. And it isn't a deal where he runs out and he stops and thinks, "Oh, what am I doing?" He just runs. I mean, you can call his name, you can holler out to Lebo. He doesn't stop, he doesn't slow down. He is just out of there. So our dog Lebo has an issue. He runs if he gets out, and he runs, and he runs, and he runs. And I follow him, and I pursue him, and I try to get him. The family will try to corner him, but the only way we get Lebo back, the only way we're able to come to Lebo is when he's completely exhausted and he collapses and falls over. And once Lebo is exhausted, then we are able to get Lebo back, which is a happy time. So we watch the door. We try not to let Lebo burst out, break out, and get away. He loves to run, and he loves to run, and he doesn't stop. But hopefully, as we're working through our second time together in Ruth, as we're going through the end here of chapter 1, and we were reminded last time we were together that we saw the wandering of this family as Elimelech took his family away from the promised land and wandered into Moab and all the things that happened there. And in somewhat of a sense, he was perhaps maybe somewhat like Lebo. He kind of had all the love and care of God being given to him, and yet in the moment he left and went to this land of Moab. As we look at our passage, I hope we'll be reminded that Lebo is silly. He's just a dog, and we don't want to act like that. So what we see, I hope we see together as we're looking at our passage, what I want you to walk away with is when you sin and wander from God, the right answer is always to return to the Lord in faith. Not to keep running, not to keep wandering, but to turn. And turn to him in faith. So we're just going to look at two simple things this evening together. Ending the wandering in Moab and returning to the promised land. So ending the wandering in Moab. So Naomi's living as a widow with her widowed daughter-in-laws in Moab. And while they're there and they're in the fields and they're collecting what they can, they're trying to survive. Naomi hears something about her homeland that gives her hope as she hears that the Lord has not forsaken his people, that though chastisement came, he is now providing for them, and that he has brought care to them, and it brings her hope. My boys and I like watching this, I guess it's just a YouTube channel with some comedians, and it's based on the SEC conference, and they do little shorts. They're sponsored, and so after every week, they do funny little things, and they have characters that kind of portray the different teams. And they have this one thing, kind of ongoing joke that they have. There's this character, and her name is Hope. And Hope will show up at different times in the different skits. She'll come to one team, and then she'll get up and leave another. And it's always funny the way it works, the way Hope comes and goes. And it's always a bad place. It's funny, and they make a bunch of jokes, and you laugh about it. But it's always bad when there's hopelessness. So whenever a team seems to be falling into a place of hopelessness, they make sure that that's clear in the skits. But, you know, Naomi was here. She was in the midst of this hopeless situation, but yet there was this kindling of hope she's holding on to. She hears about how the Lord is continuing to be faithful to his people. And though she was brought to this foreign land by her husband, though her sons, as we looked at last week, married these pagan daughters going against the ways that they have been taught, though then they are left all widows. She's a widow with two daughter-in-laws that are widows in this foreign land, not within a culture that she's familiar with. She's what seemingly would be a hopeless situation. She still has hope as she looks out to what the Lord is doing. As she hears these things, the ending of this great famine, and she has a desire to go back to Bethlehem. She wants to go home. Her hope is then to enjoy how the Lord is caring for his people, as she believes he will care for her. Naomi knows God is faithful and is good. Even in her suffering, she doesn't lose all hope in God, though you can tell she feels the weight of what's happening. She feels beat down. But it's a difference between feeling as if God is beating her down with these things. She feels the weight of it, but yet she has hope. You know, when you sin, when you wander from the Lord, particularly children, keep in mind the importance of turning our eyes back to the Lord, returning to him, and knowing that as we turn to him, that we don't serve a God who, as we approach him, asking for forgiveness, coming in repentance, that our God is not one who then will give us an uppercut or a roundhouse kick to the head. He's not going to drop thunderbolts upon us and crush us and destroy us. But we have a God who is gracious and cares for his people and pours out grace upon sinners. So there is hope in our Redeemer as we turn to Christ. And we saw, without going into it too much, just a reminder of this morning, we saw that hope even in the midst of suffering, that calling out, that we saw that Paul was reminding those around him of God's goodness and the desire that Christians want to have, that we seek to develop by the God's grace and by the power of the Spirit, that we would, in the midst of suffering and rejoicing, that we would look for the Lord's will to be done. All right, so Naomi, in the midst of this, she tells Orpha and Ruth to stay in Moab. She lets them know, I'm leaving. I'm going back. Y'all need to stay. Y'all need to stay here. You need to go home back to your families. Go to your family. She even blesses them and says that she wants them to go and that they might find for themselves new husbands and be part of new families and that they might be blessed. And she doesn't say, and I pray that the great being of the universe would make this happen, or that God that we all with lowercase g are able to stand together and celebrate. She doesn't use the name of the Moabite false gods. She uses the name of Jehovah. She blesses them and tells them to go in the hope that the God of Israel, the one true and living God, that he might bless them, for they have been kind and loving to her and her sons and her husband, who were now gone. Now, there is something interesting just to touch on here, because in this explanation of telling them to go away, even as she's blessing them, she says, because, hey, I don't have any sons to give you. And what she's touching on here is Old Testament Israel. You go and read about it in Deuteronomy 25. There was such a thing as a Levirate marriage, and what it was is that if a man were to die and had no children, no heirs, then there was an expectation in God's law then for the brother-in-law to come and to marry the widow, his brother's widow, so that not only she could be taken care of and the family cared for, but most the focus of this Levirate marriage was so that an inheritance would be given to the dead brother. That the land inheritance within the promised land in this time, as we're moving forward towards the coming of the Messiah, that it would not disappear. And so that's what she has in mind. She's saying, I have no way to provide this to you. I can't do this. So within our culture, within our the system we've been given, I can't look after you girls, so go back. Go back to your mothers, go back to your families, stay here in Moab. I'm going back. Don't come with me and stay. And it's obvious that these ladies love each other because they're weeping, they're upset. They don't want to necessarily part, but we do see that Orpha, she parts, and she does go back, leaves. We don't hear from her again, but Ruth stays. Amid all of this, we see Ruth clinging to Naomi, which we'll look at in just a moment, is what she has to say. But in the midst of this, we see Orpha leave and Ruth decide to go with Naomi. So they're returning now to the Promised Land. Ruth desires to go with Naomi to the Promised Land. Kind of maybe doesn't sound like too big a deal, you know, folks. They get married and they head to like California. They're in the West Coast. Well, that's not too big a deal, you know. Yeah, we'll miss each other. Won't be able to do as many holidays with one another. But, you know, we got technology. We can do video calls. We can interact with each other. But Naomi, she's leaving. She's cutting ties with Moab. Ruth, going with her, she is literally leaving all that she knows. She's leaving behind her people, her culture, her land. Her family, and she's going off trusting, as we'll see here in a moment, trusting that Naomi's God, the one true and living God, Jehovah, is going to take care of her as she heads out and makes this movement. But she, before she leaves, she makes a profession of her faith before she does this brave step forward as Naomi's returning back to the Promised Land, and Ruth is heading that way with her. Listen again, I read through it, but listen to what it is that Ruth said in verse 15, as Naomi's talking to Ruth, and then Ruth's response. This is Naomi, after Orpah's taken off. She says, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. From where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts me from you." And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said, "No more." I don't know if you picked up on what Ruth just said. So we talk about the covenantal flow of the scriptures. We talk about how that theme that moves from Genesis to Revelation. So I mentioned oftentimes you'll read through here and God makes this covenantal promise. "I will be your God, you'll be my people, and I will dwell with you forever. I'll dwell amongst y'all forever." Well, in many ways, what Ruth proclaims here, she speaks of that covenantal promise and the applications of it, how it works itself out in what she's saying here. And then after she says these things, hey, your people are going to be my people, your God's going to be my God. She's bringing herself in faith into this covenantal theme of the scriptures. She even then brings upon herself in the name of Jehovah and says, "Hey, and if I were to break this, then may the one true and living God deal with me." So there's a very covenantal aspect here. I mean, this is a solid profession of faith. Ruth has truly turned her back on all things and is moving forward in faith to go to the Promised Land that she is trusting that God will care for her in the midst of all these things. It really is a glorious picture of the gospel. This outsider, one who is not amongst God's covenant people. All these things have happened, this, there, and that, and the way the Lord sovereignly brings about her redemption and salvation, displaying his love for sinners. And then more so even than that is how Ruth is brought into, as we'll see moving our way through, and of course we know looking back into the family line of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Naomi returns to the promised land with Ruth as they're both trusting in the Lord as they go. When Naomi and Ruth return to Bethlehem, it's very interesting. They are quite the talk of the town. Now, granted, it's not like they rolled into Knoxville. I mean, Bethlehem wasn't, you know, a couple hundred thousand people. If someone came back into town, everybody knew. It was like a small town. They come in and the women they're abuzz. Naomi's back. You'll notice when you read there in those last few verses in our passage, no one's really talking about Ruth. It's almost like they're just ignoring her. She's come back and she's already getting a little bit of the taste of what she knew, must have known was coming, as she was able to understand the covenant blessings and make this profession of faith. She must have had an idea of what was understood and coming in regards to who she was and where she came from. But they, these women, they interact with Naomi, and then she responds. And in her response, she gives a clear understanding of that God is in control. She doesn't talk about how you're not going to believe the just insane things that happened to me. I mean, it was like just one horrible domino effect after another. It was like, man, I had the worst luck ever. Everything went bad. None of that. She's like, clear. God has done these things. God has brought me back. So she professes God's sovereignty in the midst of all this. She understands the bitter consequences of what's happened and what she's had to deal with her suffering. And yet, even in perhaps the holding on of this suffering that she's gone through, we know that there still is hope that drove her in the Lord's faithfulness that caused her to pursue back and to return to God's covenant people and to Bethlehem. It's only God's grace that's caring for Ruth, this outsider, and Naomi, this prodigal, returning, trusting in the Lord. It's going to be, I think, hopefully you're somewhat excited, but we're going to work our way through the next couple chapters. It's not going to be long. I mean, Ruth's going to be over fast. But as we move our way through, we're going to see how the Lord is providentially caring for these two women and working in their lives, and how his steadfast covenant faithfulness is going to be shown, his loving goodness and grace poured out on them as he's working his way through. And as we go through, we keep that in mind and look at it and be reminded that as they will have everything, the Lord will provide everything for them through this kinsman redeemer we're going to meet very soon. We're reminded, of course, that we have everything through our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you sin and wander from God, the right answer is always to return to the Lord in faith. All right, well, let's pray. Oh, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity now to also come to you in the evenings. We're spending time in this book of Ruth that you've given to us. Lord, what a beautiful picture of the gospel. We're so thankful for it. We are thankful to see how you cared for our ancestors in the family of God, and also seeing how you providentially work through these means and through redemptive history as you were going about the saving of your people. We're so thankful for the grace that we have in Christ, and ask that as we move through Ruth and we see these different themes, your covenant faithfulness, your steadfastness to your people, we see the kinsman redeemer put before us, clearly made. We ask that even as we gather together in these Sunday evenings and we read through Ruth and hear it preached, Lord, that in those times that you would quicken our minds and allow our hearts to be sharp to hear your truth, and the Spirit would work amongst us revealing to us Christ and giving us a greater hope and love in Him. And Lord, we pray all this in His name. Amen.